Yeah, Dr. Dre, what you got for us tonight? Oh, yeah, people, we talking sports tonight.
Here we go.
Time is now,
people.
Time to make it do what it do, baby.
Here we go. Once again, welcome to our normal night, Tuesday. Pocket Sports 12 Man today is, of course, Tuesday, November the 4th. I feel like time is flying by, but we are officially ready to get this party started with Talking Sports with 12th Man. As always, I'm Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Mr. Rob Ford. Rob Ford, without further ado, always got to check in. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. Couldn't have been better, Doc. Traveled down to South Florida to check on a little bit. You know, Miami Dolphins doing well down that way. And so, you know, you had to go and check on them. Oh, how about you?
Same thing, sir. Been on the road, getting ready to head up to Florida myself, man, pretty soon. So, you know, maybe I'll do just to kind of follow up, check in with that. Man, we got a lot of things to discuss. So let's go ahead and get this party started. Without further ado, if you want to call into the show, you can call us via the toll-free number. It's 424-243-9519. We're also available via Twitter and social media. If you want to follow us, it's with the number to follow is the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then finally, if you want to follow us on Facebook, we are available as well, facebook.com/12manSports. Or once again, if you put in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will see a picture of me. Not Robin and Ike Turner outfit, but, you know, we'll keep it moving as always. That's all about. So, let's get this party off, sir. We always like to recap NFL. And right now, man, Rob, we were just witnessing the breakout of a star, Rob, and Andrew Luck. And right now, I mean, you know, they threw up a stat as far as him. He was in pretty good company as far as, you know, with, I guess, the most 300-yard passing games. He's been in the company of Drew Brees, I think it was Peyton Manning, and I think even Tom Brady, but I got to check that. But, you know, right now, Andrew Luck is pretty hot, man. Do you think he's the best QB in the NFL right now? I'm sure Ben Roethlisberger may have something to say, but what do you think about this young, talented quarterback in Andrew Luck, sir?
Well, I tell you what, I'm not going to say he's the best in the game just yet. As you just mentioned, there's a lot of guys playing well. Roethlisberger out of his mind the last 2 weeks. 12 touchdowns, no INTs in 2 weeks. That's unbelievable. Tom Brady's on fire right now. And even with Denver losing, you still got to mention Peyton Manning up there in that number. But I will say this about Andrew Luck. If I'm starting a franchise today, and I want my pick of players, I'm going to start with Andrew Luck, based on his age. And you're talking about a guy who's very athletic, too, is where a lot of people don't give him credit for that, but he can really run. He's got great athleticism. He's got great velocity on his throws, very high IQ. And when you really think about it, this is his third season in the league, and it looked like he's going to be 3-for-3 on taking his team to the playoffs in his first three seasons. That's unheard of, you know, of a young quarterback doing that. So I'm not going to say he's the best just yet, but he's definitely on his way to being the best. I can tell you that much.
I guess the fans are right. Suck for Luck, man. They actually got it right, man. I mean, and you got to give franchises like the Colts a lot of credit because they had Peyton Manning and they messed around and just get right on point with Andrew Luck, man. So this guy is becoming just, you know, like you said, Rob, it's just amazing that he's going to be the next quarterback, man. And whenever you kind of see the league right now, and a lot of quarterbacks that unfortunately aren't getting it from the Geno Smiths of the world, you know, E.J. Manuel, you know, this was one that was a solid pick right on point by the Indianapolis Colts, Rob.
Yeah, when you really you look at the grand scheme of things from the Colts, I think they drafted Peyton Manning in 1998. I believe that was the year he was taken. And you got to think Andrew Luck is going to be in that position until possibly as 2025, 2026. You're talking about an organization that's going to be set at the quarterback position for at least 30 years from Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. I mean, that is unreal to get that kind of quarterback play out of two quarterbacks back-to-back. You know, Peyton Manning, the Broncos, this might be the first time they've had a good quarterback since John Elway. And so that just goes to show you how hard it is to get, you know, two quarterbacks of that caliber. You know, it's very rare that you get them back-to-back like the Colts are having right now.
Yeah, let's see what happens with the Broncos, too. As you mentioned, they may be in the market for a quarterback right after the season, depending on that, or they may want to develop a guy. I'm not sure if Brock Osweiler is the answer, but we'll keep an eye on that as well. Let's keep the theme for quarterbacks, Rob. I know you want to mention your favorite quarterback, Tony Romo. Give us a quick update on him.
Far from my favorite quarterback, but you know that's your boy though. But we'll leave that alone. But looks like Tony Romo is going to play this week against Jacksonville in London. So it looks like he is going to play, even with the injury. Look like he's going to be well enough and get clearance to play. And I tell you what, I mean, I was under the impression that they could still win with Brandon Wheaton. But I think we just saw that Tony Romo has some value to this offense, and they need Tony Romo and they need DeMarco Murray for them to be successful. So I think here, I think Romo plays. They may limit his throws a little bit, but I think they win this game over Jacksonville with a ball control game plan.
Yeah, I'm not quite ready to throw Brandon Wheaton out. You know me, I'm not the hugest Tony Romo fan, but, I just think they ran into him. We'll talk about Arizona, too, because that's a great team that's just playing lights out. And each week, Rob, you have some ups and downs. I mean, we were talking about how great the Cowboys were, and after them beating Seattle, then, you know, obviously they go through this little slide, and then Arizona comes out of nowhere and just kind of hands it to them in Dallas. So, you know, we'll see if that stays true. They're able to kind of continue on, too. But, I'm not signing off to Tony Romo as a man just yet, man. I just think Arizona came with a great game plan. You thought the Cowboys were going to run away with it, and that's just a war of attrition right there, too. So we'll keep an eye on that. I don't know if you want to kind of comment anything else for that as well before we talk about some top picks for next year's draft, sir.
Well, when we talk about the Arizona Cardinals, just look at the way they're playing defensively is outstanding right now. They're getting it on all three levels of their defense. Obviously, the secondary may be their strength, but they're getting it at every level. Even with losing Darnell Dockett early in the season, the injury, they're still getting great defensive line play. And that's really been their strength. And their offense has just been solid, effective. But their defense is winning their football games for them.
Gotcha. Man, unfortunately, we always talk about we're kind of at a good halfway point of the year. But, Rob, it's never too early to talk NFL draft. I know for the Talking Sports, the 12-man world. But, right now, I guess the question that we have posed on the topic list is who will have the top pick in the NFL draft next year in April? And right now, it looks like it may be a tie between who I'm looking at, the Oakland Raiders and maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I know it seems like it could be the Buccaneers too. But right now, I'm going to probably say it may be the Raiders. Well, what are your thoughts about who's getting the top pick? And then, you know, obviously, you know what may be some targets here.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Oakland is going to have the number one pick in the draft. And the other team that I think could possibly be the number one team would be the Jets as the result of the way they're playing. But I think it's going to be Oakland at the number one spot, maybe the Jets at the number two spot. And then you can look at Tampa and Jacksonville fighting for that three spot in the draft. But I think Oakland, I don't think Oakland would draft a quarterback at that number one position. I think they're solid. With Derek Carr there, they like him a lot. They like his potential. So they're going to draft the best player available that's not a quarterback. And then you'll see Jameis Winston go number two to the Jets. you know, a team that has a, you know, much need for a quarterback position.
You think that the Jets are going to take Jameis over a Marcus Mariota, Rob?
Yeah, I think they're going to go with Winston. Winston is the most pro-ready quarterback, even with his off-the-field trouble. You know, there's nothing that's going to deter him as far as from an NFL standpoint. When you look at Jameis Winston, the guy reads defenses. He's got a high football IQ. He makes the right throws, got great velocity on his throws. And that's what you're going to see general managers look at when they evaluate them this offseason. So he's going to be that number two pick. You're going to see Mariota go pretty high as well. You can see him possibly going to Tampa Bay, you know, at number four or five or something like that. But Mariota's going to go pretty high as well. But Winston will be the first QB off the board.
Wow, okay, very cool. We'll keep an eye on the situation too, man. I was kind of looking at the site here and as far as the teams here, and I guess we'll get a chance to preview that as well too, Rob, because I'm sure looking at what we have here, I'm curious as far as, you know, we'll talk about who needs quarterbacks, who needs certain positions too, because, you know, off the cuff, you know, there may be some opportunities for some teams. I'm kind of like taking a quick glance. You know, we'll kind of highlight that once we get closer to the draft, you know, because I guess the question is, you know, the Texans may make a move with Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, moving Ryan Mallett. You don't know if he's the answer. You know, obviously what's going to happen with the Rams. Are they going to be in the market for a quarterback? Or are they happy with Austin Davis? You know, are the Chiefs okay with Alex Smith? They got a backup for that. I mean, there's a couple of things that we can target as well. You know, who may be in that in the market. I think Jacksonville has their guy. And Blake Bortles, obviously. Ryan Tannehill's been playing extremely well, too, Rob, for the Miami Dolphins, man. So you talk about just an amazing turn of events, you know. But, yeah, you know, pretty exciting. I'm sure, like I said, I'm like you, Rob. I can always talk NFL draft, unfortunately, you know, especially if you're kind of thinking about your team. But, you know, anyway, that's where we are within the game frame right now, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. You make a good point about the Rams and Austin Davis. There'll be another team that's looking for a quarterback here. And, you know, I think we're going to have at least three guys as quarterbacks that are going to go in this first round. So it's going to be real interesting. I think one of the guys that I think has fallen off a little bit is Brent Huntley. I think you'll see him drop to the second round. But it's still very early. We still got a long ways away before we get to the draft, too. So there's going to be a lot of film and a lot of workouts, a lot of combines and all that that's going to shift draft boards.
Still a long season, and we're going to keep the focus on quarterbacks here. And the Eagles, you know, right now, you have to do they sour on Nick Foles? Is that what you wanted to say before the injury? You know, Mark Sanchez came in, Rob, and just surprisingly did a good job. So what are your thoughts about that scenario, Rob?
Well, here's with Nick Foles, you know, some of his play has been a little shaky this season. They've been getting wins because they've been, you know, having a lot of, you know, things happen in their way, special teams, defense, and some big plays on offense, too. And they've been won a lot of close games, too. But Chip Kelly was starting to worry a little bit about Foles at the quarterback position. And when you mention Mark Sanchez, Chip Kelly's face just lights up. And here's a guy, you know, I've mentioned on this show several times in the years past that I always thought that he was just in a bad situation with the Jets. And I always felt like he can go somewhere else and be successful. And there's something about Mark Sanchez that I still feel that way about. I think he still has a lot of talent, has just needed to be with the right quarterback coach. And you may see him play really well here in his next 6 to 8 weeks. And we'll see if he keeps the job or if they go back to Foles. So it's going to be really interesting. And I just always felt like he was in a bad situation with the Jets. And maybe this could be something that reignites his career. He did have two interceptions in that game, but you can make a case that those weren't even his fault. But other than that, he had some big throws, and they were able to have a big victory on the road against a very good Houston defense, too.
Yeah, I actually gave you some props, Rob, but you did always say about that about Mark Sanchez, too. So that's a great call on your behalf. And, yeah, it looks like he's definitely reaping the benefits, and he looks like he's – I think even Sanchez is actually happy. He's lightened up. He talked about Chip Kelly, but I think Sanchez is happy to be in a situation where he can actually grow and get a chance to learn, man. So I think it's a great scenario for him. Maybe he's more of a late bloomer for sure, Rob, but he's actually looking like he's in a great scenario, a great situation right now, too.
Yeah. You know, obviously we'll, you know, let this thing play out, see how he performs. But on the surface, I think he's going to do really well with Chip Kelly.
Ready to get half a point in the show. As always, I want to throw out the number. It's 424-243-9519. That's definitely a force of habit, too. That's why I'd like to throw that out there. Let's talk about some coaching news, Rob. And I guess there's a lot of people here, especially in Atlanta, are monitoring the Jim Harbaugh scenario situation. Will he return to the 49ers next season, to your knowledge, sir?
I'm going to say no. I think it's a big, fat no. I don't think he's going to beat the 49ers. I think he's getting to the point where I think he's going to want to change, and I think the organization has drawn tired of his personality. And I think there's going to be three jobs that I think are going to go after him hard. You mentioned Atlanta. I think the Falcons will go after him. I think the Oakland Raiders and, of course, the Michigan Wolverines, his alma mater. And not to bust the Atlanta Falcons bubble, but I think the job that he will take out of those three is going to be the Oakland Raiders. His family, his wife, absolutely loves the Bay Area. He doesn't have to move that far. You know, he'll take on a rebuilding project with the Raiders. And so obviously, unless there's a move to Los Angeles that takes place, then I can see Michigan and Atlanta being in play here. But if the Oakland stays in the Bay Area, that's where he'll be coaching next season.
All right. See how it plays out, Rob. You know, I'm not going to burst your bubble either, man. So, you know, we'll see about that as well. I think that's the Saints fan talking, but that's just me. You know, it's all good.
No, I'm just delivering news.
Okay. All right. We'll see. Any NFL highlights from week 9 you want to focus before we talk about some NFL predictions, sir?
Well, we talked about Big Ben, an amazing game on Sunday night, another 6 touchdowns. Incredible. You got to give New England some props. You know, after that shellacking they took to the Chiefs, the Patriots have been on a roll. Got to give Tom Brady and his squad a lot of props as well. We talked about Andrew Luck and his team playing well. Mark Sanchez coming in relief to lead the Eagles to victory. And, of course, the Arizona Cardinals beating the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. That's pretty big as well. So that's just a few highlights from this past week another great week of NFL football.
Seems amazing, Rob. You know, the Steelers playing well. Couple quarterbacks, you know, Ben Roethlisberger's just playing out of his mind. But, you know, it really seems like Perry, Rob. You know, one week we're seeing the praises of Dallas, and the next thing, you know, they're getting beat like we talked about. You know, Steelers, you know, seem like they were kind of like dead in the water, and then out of nowhere they're looking good. You know, obviously the Colts getting beat, and the next year they turn around and whip up one that, you know, some teams, and, you know, obviously Dallas can beat by Washington, and then now they're getting beat by Carter. It just seems like it's an interesting season, Rob. It's definitely unpredictable. We talked about there's no cupcakes in the NFL whatsoever.
Nah, there's no New Mexico States on the schedule. All due respect to New Mexico State. Yeah, there's no cupcakes on the schedule in the National Football League. You look at that AFC North, every team in the division is above 500. So they're playing good football in that division. And contrary, you look at the NFC South, there's not a team above 500.
Yeah.
So very interesting there in a tale of two divisions there.
Tale of two divisions is definitely most assuredly right. We're going to talk about some NFL predictions here. And I do want to make a quick point about, I know last week it was all about Manning versus Brady. If I would put a name in there, I would actually go with Brady, because it seems like he does more with less. Just for some reason, I don't think he's been able to have a lot of the weapons like Peyton Manning has had, but some reason he always seems to get it done with a list of no caliber wide receivers. I mean, the best wide receiver he had was Randy Moss, but he seems to get it done with, you know, Ron Gronkowski, and I'm not thinking that Julian Edelman and Brandon LaFell are like the top receivers in the game, but somehow he always keeps doing it, Rob. So he just they just pushed lacking on the Broncos, and that's kind of, you know, maybe that's a precursor for the season, but, you know, we'll see how that plays out for the playoffs, Rob.
Well, yeah, Brady's always smart with the football. He makes the right throws all the time, practically. And so, you know, obviously I would have to rank Brady over Manning, too, although I think Manning might be the best regular season quarterback of all time. But I think in the grand scheme of things, when you grade the whole thing, the whole package, you have to put Brady ahead of Manning.
Let's talk about some NFL predictions right now. You got Cleveland at Cincinnati as our first game. And earlier, Rob, I would have hands down picked Cincinnati. But it seems like Cincinnati is kind of, you know, they're kind of hitting a little rough patch here right now. Cleveland's been playing pretty well, even though Cincinnati is at home. What do you think about this particular game for the prediction? I'm not 100% confident in Cincinnati. They may have an advantage being at home, but it's definitely closer than I anticipate, Rob.
Well, I think you're going to have a hard-fought football game here, the Battle of Ohio. Cincinnati has rebounded a little bit with two straight wins. I like Cincinnati in this game at home. They got their big weapon in A.J. Green back. He had a big game this past weekend as well, so that helps them to stretch the field. And they're hoping to get Giovanni Bernard back. And they have both of those guys in the lineup. I can't see Cleveland winning this game over the Bengals. So I like the Bengals at home. And the main reason, of course, getting A.J. Green back, of course.
You picked a lot of tough ones. KC at Buffalo, Kansas City. Buffalo's been playing really well. So has Kansas City. This is a toss-up. I think, do you give the advantage to the home team in this instance, or who do you have for this particular prediction?
I tell you, both of these teams are 5-3. Very hard game to pick. I like the Chiefs on the road in this one. I like the way they're playing. I like the way they're playing on both sides of the football. Alex Smith playing fundamental football, not turning it over. They're getting good production. Travis Kelce, the tight end. Jamal Charles, the running back here. And I like the way the team is playing. Defensively, they got a lot of talent. I think the Chiefs go on the road and win a close one.
Let's talk about Miami at Detroit. This is another close game, Rob. You know, Detroit has been nursing a couple injuries since the game versus London, that colossal flop by the Falcons. Miami, on the other hand, has been playing extremely well. I actually like Miami in this particular matchup. I'm not sure how the injuries are still going to impact Detroit. I don't know if we have any news about Calvin Johnson, Megatron, as far as his prognosis, but still, I like Miami in this particular instance.
Yeah, this is another tough game to pick as well. And Detroit, you look at the last two games, they won them at the last minute by a point over Atlanta, a point over the Saints, and right at the last second of both of those games. And their defense is sound and maybe have one of the best defensive lines in the game. I think Miami loses a close one on the road here. I think Detroit wins it like 24-21.
Wow. All right. We'll keep an eye on that scenario, too. Let's talk about some fantasy shout-outs, Rob. I'll let you go ahead and handle that for sure as we continue on with the show.
Oh, we want to once again thank our players and participants in all of our fantasy football leagues. We're right in the middle of the heart of fantasy football, just starting up fantasy basketball. So we still got the stretch run to go here in all of our leagues. Of course, in league number one, I'm start the biggest winner of the week was actually yours truly, Nola Breakers. 197.62 beat the champions here. Champion here scores 70.22. First place in that league is Saints Pelicans 23. Right out of here in the New Orleans area. And league number two, Fleur-de-Lis, the Atlanta area, is at the biggest win of the week, 179.18 over ATL Black Belt, 58.56. Saints Pelicans, 23, also first place in that league as well. And league number three is Money League, and I feel like a broken record. Saints Pelicans, 23, had the biggest win of the week, 138.58 over the Kings team, 93.94. Irvin's team in first place at 8-1 in that league, having a very good year thus far. And after 1 week of fantasy basketball, Anthony Davis, the new number 23, right here out in the New Orleans area, he's in first place of the fantasy basketball league thus far as we're just getting started. So those are our fantasy shout-outs. As I mentioned, we're getting to the stretch run here in fantasy football. Should be fun.
Thank you, sir. As always, we do appreciate everyone joining. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show, Rob. We're going to talk real briefly about the NBA. Obviously, it opened up pretty recently here. Let's talk about some interesting news. And I guess we have a note about, will Kobe get traded to the Knicks? Is this just something that's kind of just made up, or is this something that food for thought? What about this particular side note for this particular show topic?
Well, this is actually some very hot rumor right now. And, you know, obviously you got the Derek Fisher, Phil Jackson connection with the Knicks, who both know Kobe Bryant very well. The Lakers are 0-4 to start the season. They're playing their fifth game tonight at home against Phoenix. Could very well be 0-5 after tonight. And so it's one of those things where I think they want to see what they have and play out here the next few months and see what the Lakers can do. Can they turn the season around? And I think the closer you get to February, the Lakers are still losing, you know, and the Knicks has a chance to make the playoffs. This trade could very well happen. And, you know, but I think the Lakers want to wait a while, see if they can turn this around. Obviously, the fans in Los Angeles love Kobe Bryant. But Kobe is going to want to be on the contending team. And the Knicks, pairing him with Carmelo Anthony, they got a shot. Just very well pull the trigger on this deal. The Knicks will send the Lakers a bunch of expiring contracts.
Wow. That may be a huge surprise if that goes down too, Rob. But, I don't know. Like I said, one of those situations too where you definitely have to keep an eye on and monitor how that particular situation rolls out. Let's talk about OKC, Rob. And unfortunately, it seems like they've been hit with a couple of unfortunate injuries. They just lose Russell Westbrook to about 4 to 6 weeks, it looks like, with a broken hand. Right now, Rob, going to be tough. Now, I think NBA is easier to make a comeback than NFL per se, but this is definitely going to affect them. Do you think they're going to be able to have enough steam to kind of continue on? Rumors that Kevin Durant may want to go back home to Washington. There's a lot of things happening right now within the OKC organization, Rob.
Well, you know, you make a good point. It is easy to make a comeback in the NBA. The main reason is because you play a lot more games, 82 games. It's a little bit easier. You have a lot more time to come back. But here's the problem. OKC is in the Western Conference where you got 10, 11 teams that's capable of making the playoffs. So they
wow.
could really dig themselves too big of a hole here to really make a run at things. And so it's just going to be a matter of how well this current roster can hold afloat. And I'm thinking they may be too far back by the time these guys are back and healthy to really make a run at things this year. I think this could be a lost season, unfortunately, for OKC.
Yeah, good call, Rob. And, you know, you didn't mention that. I mean, obviously, since there are more games, you know, there's capability of you getting, like, that lower seed, if you will, you know, maybe 8 seed. But, you know, you never know. They are in a tough conference for sure, so it could go either way. Rob, I just realized we got about a minute and 30 seconds left in the show. I'm going to go ahead and set it up for the OT portion. We're getting ready to talk about some college football and SEC title, the current Final Four that just rolled out today, and those college football predictions, sir.
Yeah, we still got a lot to talk about, people. You're not going to want to miss this OT portion. So, unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live, but definitely click on this link on tomorrow to hear what we have to say about the college football Final Four. And this year, our first ever playoffs. And we got a lot of big games that we're going to be making predictions on. So especially those who like to bet on games, you may want to hear what we have to say coming up on these games. So definitely tune in to this link on tomorrow to listen to our OT portion. Our next live portion will be back on next Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Central, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaii. And it'll be 5 a.m. Wednesday morning in Germany for our good friends over there. All right. Good night, people. We certainly appreciate you all tuning in.
Rob, you wrapped it up with the quickness, sir. You still had about 20 seconds or so. But anyway, yeah, as I mentioned, as Rob said, yeah, we're jumping into the OT portion. Man, we got a lot of big games to discuss. We're going to talk about the current Final Four that we just rolled out tonight for college football as far as who's going to play for the SEC title. But anyway, we'll see you guys same time, same channel next week. the Dre is going to be out. And there we go. We are officially into the OT portion, Rob. And
I had to save you some time, man.
No, that was pretty cool. I mean, I just say that because it's always a good segue because we got about, you know, if you don't get that in, I'll just kind of talk about that as well. But, yeah, we're sticking away. We're doing a nice segue right into college football. And who do you think is going to play for the SEC title, Rob?
Well, I tell you what. This is, you know, just as when I think Georgia had the East locked up, they get smacked around by Florida. And so now you can open the door for Missouri and even open it a slight chance for Florida to get back in. I'm going to say that somehow, some way, Missouri loses one more game and Georgia gets in the East. So I think Georgia still makes it out of the East. Now, the West is just unreal. I mean, this has got to be the toughest division I've ever seen in college football. When you look at Mississippi State, Alabama, Auburn, Ole Miss, LSU, and you know, at one point we thought Texas A&M still had a chance in this race, but they've fallen out of the pack a little bit here. So it's I'm going to say Mississippi State holds on and win this West, and we're looking at a Mississippi State Georgia SEC title game, Battle of the Bulldogs.
Let's keep that in mind. Yeah, it's kind of interesting, Rob. You know, Georgia, you talk about just a the people here are a little willing, Rob. They did not expect that beat down by Florida. So, you know, they'd be ecstatic to actually have some type of similar to the season if they actually got a chance to play over the SEC title. That would be a huge win for them, too. But, you know, we'll see how that plays out, like we always talk about, too. I don't know if you have any more comments as far as that.
Well, yeah, obviously, I mean, I thought Georgia was going to win that game by 2 to 3 touchdowns. So I was one of those people in that number. I didn't think Florida had a chance. So kudos to Will Muschamp for getting his team ready to play and pulling off a big upset.
We'll see. Georgia, in all actuality, actually saved Muschamp's job. I don't know if that's the case, but that would be one of those things like, what? If you're a fan of Florida, you probably want him to get out of here, even though he didn't win versus Georgia. So anyway, that's my little 5 cents in that scenario. Let's talk about the current four, Rob, in college football right now. So this literally happened today. Who was rolled out? I think Mississippi State was one, and Oregon was number four. Let's fill in the gaps for everyone else that didn't hear the announcement, Rob.
Yeah, let's look at this. We're going to have a little fun with this, and let's just say that this is our four playoffs. The season ends today, and we're going to predict it as it is today. Obviously, Mississippi State, the one seed, will play Oregon, the four seed. Obviously, Mississippi State being a one seed, they will have the choice to play in either New Orleans or Los Angeles. And obviously, they will pick New Orleans because it's a little bit closer, and they will get probably more fans to the game. And so that game will be in the Sugar Bowl, Mississippi State against Oregon. I like Oregon in that matchup. I think Mississippi State's starting to fade a little bit here, and I think Oregon is starting to rise. So if these positions stay true, even though the game will be in New Orleans, I'd like Oregon to pull off that victory over Mississippi State. Then we look at the other matchup. You got the number two seed, Florida State, against the number three seed, Auburn. That game will be all the way across the country in Los Angeles. And I like Auburn. I like the lower seed in both of these matchups. So if these matchups hold true, I like the three-seed Auburn. I like the four-seed Oregon. And if those two teams will play in Dallas for the national championship, I like Oregon.
Good call, sir. Wow, okay. All right. Pretty interesting. Certain teams are starting to figure out their strengths and weaknesses. We'll see if Oregon can continue to maintain that strong run. You know, Florida State, you know, they may have something to say about that, but, Rob, just keep an eye on everything for sure, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's still a lot of football to be played. I'm just having a little fun with these four teams right now, but I seriously doubt that these will be the exact four teams that be in it when it's all time to play it. But, you know, we're just having a little fun right now with it.
Love it. All right. Huge weekend, Rob, for college football. Let's kick it off with some college predictions, and probably after this we'll probably wrap up the show, as always. You got number 12 Baylor at number 15 Oklahoma. On a side note, this is going to shock me, because you know about my love-hate relationship for Bob Stoops. Word on the street is that he may be considered for the Falcon coach. I don't know where this is coming from. Word on the street, Jason Larkin for the report, but Bob Stoops, man, that would, I don't know what to say about that. Anyway, what do you think about this game?
That would be so funny. Imagine you hate Bob Stoops and he would become the Falcons coach.
That's wow. Talking about the name, Rob. That's I don't know if you heard that, Rob. That's the name that they're hearing. That may be a
big
name.
That's a rumor
name,
I haven't heard. Jim Harbaugh,
yeah.
I have heard. Falcons may have some interest, but I haven't heard the name Bob Stoops. But I definitely will definitely have to be paying attention to that. And
yeah.
I know we talk about this a lot. And it just seems like Oklahoma loses big games way too often under Bob Stoops. And this is a game, I think Baylor is overrated in my opinion. And obviously Oklahoma was overrated starting the season too. But I'm going to pick Oklahoma to win this game at home. And I like them to win it by at least 10 points too.
Yeah. I'm kind of at a loss for words, Rob, right about now too, because you know, as much as I've given Bob Stoops a hard time, he has pulled off a couple of games in the past couple of years. But, you know, every now and then he's probably due for one of those too. But, you know, I just, like you said, this rumor came to me today, and it just kind of blew my mind. And then I'm reading about it on the AJC about that's the name too. So it's, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, they say. But maybe he's kind of wearing out his welcome there in Oklahoma. But, you know, I don't know. We'll keep an eye on that scenario for sure too. That's my little statement, guys. I apologize, America. That's just what I do sometimes. It's interesting.
Well, I will say one little quick note on that.
Yeah.
If you really look at it, you know, you look at Chip Kelly, you look at Pete Carroll, you look at Jim Harbaugh, you know, that was a time when college coaches did not make the transition to the NFL very well. But now you look at these guys, they're having success with the transition. And one of the reasons is, these guys are relating to the players a lot better now than some of the old NFL heads. And and I think that's one of the reasons why they're having some success. And that's probably one of the reasons why. Now, one name I did hear the Falcons might be interested in is Kevin Sumlin, too. And even though Texas A&M is, you know, falling off a little bit this season, very innovative mind, innovative coach. And I would, you know, I'm not a Falcon fan, of course, but if I was, I would like the Kevin Sumlin pick over Bob Stoops.
I'm a little nervous about that, Rob, because right now it seems like it's all offense and no defense. I don't know if you want to comment on that. That's one thing that I keep hearing about, you know, and maybe a little smoke and mirrors too, but, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, here's the deal. You know, you get to the NFL, you get your very good NFL coordinator to run that defense. And you got to realize, you know, this is Texas A&M, I think, third year in the SEC. So it's their third year playing big boy football. And they're offensively, the Big 12 is such an offensive scoring league. You see the points TCU and West Virginia and all these teams are putting up. So that's the conference at Texas A&M. And that's how they were built to play, to score points and keep up with those teams. But they wasn't built to play defense like the teams in the SEC are built to play. And so they're still getting those kind of players to come in and play SEC defense. So I wouldn't necessarily put that totally on Kevin Sumlin. It's just going to take them a minute.
I got you. And I appreciate you keeping it objective. That's a really good point, Rob, too. So that makes it feel a little easier. I hope Kevin Sumlin is – I would agree with you on that instance versus Bob Stoops. But, you know, like I said, apologize, America. And Rob, thank you for kind of letting me kind of have my little tangent there for sure, sir. appreciate that as well. Let's keep it moving here with some predictions here. Notre Dame, number 10, Notre Dame at number 9, Arizona State. Very tight contest, two great teams. Does Arizona State get the slight edge as far as being at home, Rob, or does Notre Dame come in there and kind of impose their will?
I like this Arizona State team. They're probably one of, I think, a very, very good football team that a lot of people in America are not talking about. I like them over Notre Dame here. I think they can win this game by 10 points as well. I like this Arizona State team a lot.
Good call. Number 7, Kansas State, Rob. Number 6, TCU. TCU is just racking up points, Rob. I don't think they'll be able to put that many points up against Kansas State. Bill Snyder, man, love this guy, man. You talk about a guy I'd love to have coach. But what are your call for this game? Does Kansas State have enough to pull it off, or is TCU going to kind of be an offensive juggernaut, Rob?
I tell you what, this is one of the picks that I wrestle with, and I think even as we're doing this show, I'm still wrestling with who to pick on this football game. I think this game is going to be extremely nip and tuck. I think Kansas State will slow down that TCU offense, but I think in the end, TCU's offense will score just enough points to win. I'm thinking a 34-31 victory for TCU at home.
It's going to be a tight game for sure, Rob. I agree with you. As far as being a tight game, I'd love Kansas State to pull it off, too. They're very tight competitors. You know, maybe a turnover here and there is going to may turn that game, too. But we'll keep an eye on that to the game as well. What we've been waiting for the whole night, Rob, number 5, Alabama, at number 16, LSU. LSU, congrats, Rob. They pulled off a pretty big upset of Ole Miss. Bo Wallace, a.k.a. Sunshine, what do you think about this? The chances of Alabama? Does Nick Saban got something to wait for him? Is Les Miles and Mad Hatter going to pull out some tricks in this particular game, Rob?
I tell you what, this is another game that I've been wrestling with, too, believe it or not. And LSU seems to have gotten a lot better here in the last 3 ball games. But I think in the end, as much as I hate to do this, I think Alabama wins a close one. I'm going to say 21-17 Alabama on the road over LSU. And I think it's just going to come down to the quarterback position. Alabama quarterback will just make more plays than LSU's quarterback.
You know, Rob, I got to give you credit, man. You always are pretty objective, too. So a good call, man. I appreciate your honesty and not going with your heart. But, it's going to be a tough game.
Now, that's a pick. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, and that's okay. I mean, like I said, it's at LSU. You guys know you guys have a distinct advantage playing at home. I know Alabama's going to be focused. We're talking about a Amari Cooper that's, getting some really good press. Rob, this guy may be a top pick in the coming draft, as well as T.Y. Yeldon, am I thinking correctly here? I'm thinking T.Y. Hilton here, but the running back as well. But I'll think of T.Y. Hilton for some reason. So it's going to be a good game, I think. A little closer election. You maybe hope you're wrong, but, we'll see how that plays out. 3 minutes here. Let's talk about the next another great matchup, number 14, Ohio State, at number 8, Michigan State. I like Michigan State, even though do you think that Ohio State will have a little revenge factor because of what happened last year in the championship or its options for them to go to the championship, Rob?
I like Michigan State here. I think Michigan State's defense is just very good. I think they're the better football team. I like Michigan State.
And let's finally wrap it up. Number 4, Oregon, the aforementioned part of that new top Final Four, at number 17, Utah. Utah's been pretty physical, Rob. They have it. They're going to be able to out-physical a finesse offense of Oregon.
No, I think Oregon won this game by at least 10 points. I think they're the better team, even on the road. I like Oregon in this one.
Gotcha. All right, let's wrap this up, Rob. We've got 2 minutes, so let's go ahead and wrap this up. Get ready for another week next week of Talking Sports in 12th, man.
All right, people, we filled up another great show. We certainly appreciate you all tuning in. You don't want to miss next week's show. It'll be more the same, NFL, college football, NBA, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian, and, of course, Wednesday morning, 5 a.m. in Germany. You all don't want to miss us. We're going to have a great episode again talking college football here. We're going to recap a lot of these games and then preview next weekend's football as well.
Gotcha. As always, Rob, good show. Appreciate your feedback and your interaction. As always, good job setting the topics, as always. And like you said, we'll see you next week, same time, same channel. And, Rob, man, we'll talk to you soon, sir. Have a good one.
All right. Good night, people. Good night.
Good night, people.